Now we're going to move even further south to Kern County. Two political science professors at CSU Bakersfield spoke with reporter Monica Velez about candidates and cannabis. Dirk Horn explains the three cannabis measures that are on the ballot. But first, we go to Mark Martinez, who talks about why the Board of Supervisors race is different from past elections. That's because of a lawsuit by the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund, or MALDEF.
Well, you've got a couple of things going on. The county was sued over boundaries, supervisorial boundaries that were redrawn back in 2011. The county was told that the district lines were not in cahoots with the Civil Rights Act, but they went ahead and drew them up anyways. And as a result, they ended up getting sued by MALDEF and the Dolores Huerta Foundation. They lost that lawsuit. The lawsuit ends up costing the county of Kern about $5 to $6 million. Nobody wants to put an exact penny amount on that. And this is in a county where you have police and fire departments that not only need upwards of 100 new personnel, but many of them haven't gotten any kind of raises in 5 or 6 years. And here you have the county spending $5 to $6 million in effect to save the positions, the jobs of four supervisors. And so you've got that angle, and then you throw in the fact that you've got MALDEF and the Dolores Huerta Foundation who sued the county and forced the district, the county, to redraw the supervisorial districts. And so now what you have are effectively three Anglo districts and two Latino districts, because Kern County is roughly about 51-52% Latino dominant.
And so the supervisor seats in District 2, 3, and 4 are up for election. And what do you think, what should people be looking out for in those three seats?
2 and 3, it's the standard race, although you do have competitive races. But the big one, obviously, is Grace Vallejo running against incumbent David Couch. And so on that one, you have a lot of people talking about how if Grace doesn't win, it's going to be because you have a spoiler in that race, and that's Jose Gonzalez, who kind of threw his hat in the ring rather late.
And this is the District 4 race that you're talking about, right?
Yeah. And when you talk about District 4, keep in mind that after the district was redrawn, there was an effort to make sure that the field was cleared of the number of Latinos who wanted to run. At one point, there were about 5 or 6 and up to 7 who wanted to run. And I'll just as a point of clarification for everybody, I was one of the people who called all the candidates together. And we said, look, simple math. It's American government 101. If you want to lose, everybody jump in. But if you want to win this seat and continue the work that was done by MALDEF and the Dolores Huerta Foundation, we're going to have to clear the roster, and we need to have one person come out of this. And to their credit, all of the candidates, everyone who was thinking about running, they decided to agree that we would be better off as Latinos to just have one candidate, and that the candidate that emerged was Grace Vallejo, the mayor of Delano. And so there were two other people who wanted to run that were talked out of it as well. And then Jose jumped in, and I really don't know the guy, so I can't speak for him. But, you know, it's pretty much simple math, and so I'm not entirely sure what his motive was. But that's, you know, for speculation later.
Yeah, so you're pretty much saying that the best chance of actually having a Latino candidate, you know, take over this District 4 race, you know, it would have to be between, like, a two-person race, pretty much.
Yeah, until the various groups work out whatever divisions they might have within that district. But the point being is that it would have been much easier for Grace to be elected after we helped to clear the field for her. But now with another candidate, we don't know how many people, how many votes Jose Gonzalez is going to peel away from Grace Vallejo.
And if a Latino candidate doesn't end up taking the Supervisor 4 seat, what do you think that means, you know, for redistricting lawsuits and, you know,
well,
for
it depends
everything
on the numbers. I mean, if it turns out that, you know, you have the numbers that are split between Vallejo and Gonzalez, then obviously Gonzalez ends up being the spoiler, and there's a lot of issues there. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Couch is going to win or that another Latino can't run in 2 years. Because effectively, they're going to have another race in about 2 years, meaning they'll start gearing up again in another year. And those five or six that we talked to a few months back, they're going to want to jump in again. So that's not to say that David's going to win this thing again in 2 years if he chooses to run again.
Now we're going to segue into the cannabis initiatives in Kern County. We're here with Dirk Horn, who is a political science lecturer at Cal State Bakersfield. Thank you for being with us, Dirk.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so you looked into the three cannabis measures on Bakersfield and Kern County ballots. So what do voters have to decide on for this election?
Well, for the county, they're going to have two measures, both Measure J and Measure K. Measure J seeks to lift the ban on medical marijuana dispensaries and medical marijuana businesses in Kern County that's set to take effect at the beginning of the year. Measure J is fairly market-oriented in its approach to regulating the medical marijuana industry in Kern County. There's no cap on the amount of dispensaries that can be allowed in the county. There are regulations as far as how close they could be towards each other, how close they could be towards schools and youth centers and things of that nature. But those regulations basically follow state law. The authors of Measure J wanted to take the county politics out of the situation, since county supervisors have had some contentious hearings and there's been some controversy surrounding a couple of the county supervisors this past year debating the issue. So they wanted to take the politics out of the issue and bring it directly towards the people. And by taking the politics out of the issue, they're basically making Kern County follow a lot of the guidelines that are imposed in for Prop 64, the California guidelines that are set up by the state. So Measure J applies a certain sales tax, a 7.5% tax on dispensary profits. It's not a sales tax on the medical marijuana patients per se, but if you look throughout history, when an industry is taxed, that cost usually gets floated down to the consumers. But as far as other marijuana measures or regulations across the state, Measure J has a relatively low tax burden with only 7.5% on the profits of dispensaries. Measure K, on the other hand, that looks to allow both medical and recreational dispensaries and businesses in the county. Measure K would restrict some of the operational boundaries of some of these businesses. Any type of cultivation or processing or testing facilities would have to be located off of two areas designated off of I-5, one north of Bakersfield, one south of Bakersfield. Measure K would allow the marijuana dispensaries to be able to operate throughout the county, so you wouldn't be restricted to those industrial zones and have to go out and get your medical marijuana. Measure K applies a 5% tax on the profits of dispensaries and other marijuana-related businesses. But unlike Measure J, Measure K has some allocation percentages for the tax revenue is going to create. Measure K would allocate 20% to public safety, mainly going towards law enforcement. They would allocate another 15% of the marijuana revenue that they receive would be set aside to educate the public on the harms of drug use. And then 65% of it would be able to go into the general fund. That's different from Measure J, as all the profits and all the revenue received off of the taxes placed on marijuana businesses would go into the general fund. Measure O for the city of Bakersfield, it lists the ban on medical marijuana dispensaries. The authors of Measure O have a lot of influence in the crafting of Measure J as well. So Measure J and O come from the same type of spirit of trying to take the local politics out of the situation. It also applies a 7.5% tax on profits the dispensaries and other marijuana businesses make. And it also does not have a cap on the amount of dispensaries located in the city of Bakersfield. All three of these measures are written by outside industry groups, right? So that would be equivalent to allowing the alcohol industry to be able to write the regulations that govern it, right? That's traditionally not how these type of industries are regulated. All of these measures are unclear in the amount and the way in which they would be amended, right? So if a couple of years down the road, if one of these measures passes, if there's some changes that need to be made to the measure, it's not clear if the county Board of Supervisors could pick that up or the City Council Bakersfield could make those changes, or if we would have to vote on a whole new amendment to this measure, or if we would have to vote on a whole new measure. It's unclear on the amending process.
Thank you so much again, Mark and Dirk, for being with us today.
No problem.
You're welcome. Anytime.